this morning with Psalm 93. We've been working our way through some of the Psalms. And this relates well to the passage we're going to be talking about today about the word of the Lord enduring forever. So I want you to hear this in light of that idea that the word of the Lord endures forever. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The flood second and fourth Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the table, communion. Has lots of terms, lots of descriptions. I can help with this side. And we do this, we love to do this, but we also do this because it's a command to us. Jesus said to his disciples, do this in remembrance of me. We've seen hurricanes recently and houses getting filled with sand. And if those houses did not have a good foundation, when all that water rushed in, what happened to them? They fell over. They were washed away with it. But if they were deep down in there on the rock, if they had a good foundation, they made it through that really horrible storm. In the same way, the Lord's table is a foundation for us. It's foundational truths upon which to build our lives. That's why Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is our foundation for everything else. You and I cannot live the Christian life but for being born again, but for what Christ did, his body broken for us. For us, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, wages of sin is death. Someone had to die. And the sacrifices that were given were a picture of what would ultimately happen. Jesus dying in yours and my place. His body being broken. And the blood was poured out of the animal because the life of the animal was in the blood. We just celebrated Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And on that day, they're thinking about the atonement, right? That's happening for the sins. And unfortunately, they're just thinking often about the sacrifices of the animals. But we look forward to and remember Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice for us. He gave his life for us. His blood is the blood of the new covenant. And so that is what we remember today. So let's just take a moment. Communion is a great time just to come before the Lord and say, God, is there anything in my life that's not in alignment with what you are? And lay that at the foot of the cross. Let God take that away from you. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's burdens you have. Whatever it is, let's take this before the Lord today. So just take a moment to say, Lord, search me and know my heart. See if there's anything in me that's unrighteous, that's not right. And Lord, we ask that you would cleanse us from that, purify from us from that, and take that away from us. Look, I'm going to search later. Thank you that you are faithful and just, and you'll purify from us from all unrighteousness. You're able to do this because of what you did on the cross and your rising from the dead and ascending to the right hand of God the Father. Thank you. We remember that now. We rest in that. Not our own justification, but in your justification of us through what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. So here at Grace Fellowship, encourage you, if you are a baptized believer, to come up and do communion. You may say, why do you say baptized? Well, it's a part of a process, right? A public declaration of your faith. If you don't believe in Jesus, it would make no sense to come up here, because that's what you're saying. You're saying, I trust in him. I believe in him. I publicly declare that to others. So we're not trying to bar you from coming, but we want you to follow the order, right? If you don't know him, talk to one of us today. Ask about baptism. We'd love to get you baptized. We can take you out in that cold water very soon. Or we could do it in here. We figure out a way. So if you're a baptized believer, the table of the Lord's open. And the way we do this is we come up row by row to the center. You can take a piece of bread and some of the juice. If you have a gluten-free issue, there's gluten-free bread. I'd like to ask those who are on the prayer team to come first. And they're going to stand at the back. If you would like prayer for anything today, this is a great time to avail yourself of that. If there's any issues you would like prayer for. So the worship team, please come up. And then after they come up, we'll just come up row by row. And then you can go back to your seat. And we're not going to necessarily wait for everybody to get it. You can partake with those around you or pray by yourself and partake of the Lord's Supper together. So come forward, worship. this week. No birthdays, but Matt and Karen Gotzel will be celebrating their next year of anniversary on the 15th. So congratulations, Matt and Karen. May your marriage be a sign and wonder. I was challenged by a podcast I was listening to this week that our marriages can be a sign and wonder to the world. So may you guys continue to be a sign and wonder. Yeah, that is a sign, right? Kay was going to come up and share about the shoe boxes. So Kay, come on up.
Good morning. It's that time of year when we join with Samaritan's Purse in Operation Christmas Child, and you'll see out on the table there are some boxes you can use to fill shoe boxes. There's also a pamphlet in each one that just tells what to include and what not to include, and a label on the back that you can put on the front of the box here, and just fill it with all sorts of good things. Children that are in war-torn countries, probably the flood victims, underprivileged children, children in very remote regions where they actually take boats down the river loaded with the cartons of the boxes. People all over the world and over 170 countries receive boxes, not just at Christmas time, but they start at Christmas time and then go even to deliver them throughout part of the rest of the year. Usually they finish in summer. So, yeah, a little toy, a little stuffed animal, a ball, soap, toothbrush, school. This is for a child that's 2 to 4, a young boy. So I didn't put many school items in. A couple pens, pencils, and a coloring book and crayons. So take some time and consider what you might want to do. These are due on November 10th and November 17th. Or if you get them done before, just bring them and put them on the table back there. Thank you. Don't remember.
Right. A lot. All right, here, Kay, I'll give this to you as well. Here's the, Kay, there's the, that got fell out. But be sure to grab those. We've done a whole lot in the past, so it's a great thing to do as a family, even for the youth group. If you guys are thinking about some sort of serve project youth, this is a great one to do. Jadea is going to come up and share about some new cards. So, Jadea, are you ready to come up and share? He said, wait a second. Okay. Well, I can share about it. You might see there's some new cards. I think they probably are on the welcome table. We got cards right back there. There's cards that we have printed that have an invite that you can give out to somebody to come to church. And on the back of that card, it has the service times. Or you can invite them to some other event at GFC. So we have made up these cards to make it easier for you to invite people. Yeah, here it is. So we got these cards. I think we even have some big ones, but we have a bunch of little ones. And on the back, it has like a QR code if someone wants to look up the website or Facebook page, all that sort of stuff. So this is a great way to invite someone to church, invite someone to Wednesday night connect, whatever you want to do. So this is we're trying to make this easier for everybody. So I encourage you to pick up some of these. Be sure to write your name on the back when you invite someone, maybe your phone number, so that if they have questions, they could get in touch and find out more about coming to church here. So that's a great opportunity. Women's prayer this Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And connect groups will be 6:30 to 8 for all ages. So be sure to come out to those. Recently, my friend and fellow pastor of one of our sister congregations in Elyria, do you guys know Sagres? Does anybody here know Sagres? Sagres Martins. He went through some courses to become an American. Did you know that? And he took his exam. Did you ever think you have to take an exam to become a citizen of the U.S.? Most of us have been born. We never had to take the exam. You might not even pass the exam because you don't know enough, you know?
But he took the exam, and he passed it, and then he became a citizen. And when he became a citizen, he had to swear some things in an oath ceremony. So what does one do? What does someone swear to in that oath ceremony? What do you guys think they do? Allegiance. What else? Uphold the Constitution. You're probably looking for anything on your phone. What is it? You got a couple of them. Any other ones? Well, here, I'll read what I found. They swear loyalty only to the United States. They swear to support the Constitution and defend it against all enemies. They swear to obey the laws of the United States. Sometimes we don't do that well, do we? They swear to renounce foreign alliances, foreign allegiances, and to serve the country when required. So maybe military service or whatever they are asked to do as a citizen. So when they're a citizen of the United States, that's what they swear to. Many of us don't even know what we're quite signing up for by being born here. But those are the things you would be as well. Do you see some parallels here to maybe the kingdom of God? Think about this, you know. When you accepted Jesus, are you swearing to be loyal only to him? Are you swearing to support his word and what he says? Are you swearing to obey his laws, what he's told us to do? Love God, love others. Are you renouncing your other allegiances from the past? And are you willing to serve the kingdom of God when required? So a lot of similarities, right, to entering the kingdom of God. And, you know, we've been working through 1 Peter for the past several weeks, and this book has outlined what it looks like to be part of the kingdom of God, to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. And there are certain expectations of citizens of the kingdom of God to which we are called if we have made Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 gives us the last of four imperatives regarding his call. We looked at three of those imperatives last week, and this is the last imperative. The three we looked at last week are imperatives, are commands for us in regard to our relationship with God. The one this week is how we relate to others. Okay? So if you go back to the Great Commission, what is the Great Commission? And what else? Well, so it's baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Make disciples and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? What is the great commandment? Okay, so if we want to summarize everything Jesus commanded us, love God, love others. So the first three commands here in Peter were our relationship with God, how we love God, and this last one is how we love others. So we're digging into what does it mean to be a citizen of the kingdom. We looked at the first three, relationship to God. That paves the way for what today is talking about. So if I was to summarize this, if you could bring that up, Ezra. Love the family of God well. Love the family of God well. So Marilyn Martin's going to read 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25 for us. So come on up, Marilyn, and read that for us today. Thank you. Carger might protest. It's such a short passage without any hard names. He always seems to get the hard names, right? But there's a lot here. I was just talking with Matt ahead of the service, and 1 Peter is incredibly dense, packed with goodness. There's a lot there in this, I encourage you to kind of savor and camp out in these passages we're going through each week. You'll find there's so much there. So as I unpack what it means to love the family of God, well, I'm going to focus in on three aspects that I see in these verses. Love the family of God well by following the instructions. Second, love the family of God well by loving sincerely and deeply. And finally, love the family of God well by being born again. So let's look at the first one. Love the family of God well by following the instructions. Verse 22, the first part. How many of you have gotten a new item and you open it out of the package and you start trying to use it, but you don't read the instructions? Has anyone ever done that? And sometimes you figure it out, but sometimes it doesn't go so well. They might say, this is not dishwasher safe. And you put it in the dishwasher, and what happens? It's not safe. You know, I wish I had the picture of it, but Ethan had one of these cups he got at MVNU, and it was not dishwasher safe. And I remember he put it through the dishwasher on the hot cycle, and the plastic just went, and this water bottle looked like some deformed, Shrinky Dinks. You ever remember the Shrinky Dinks? It looked like a Shrinky Dink after it went through the dishwasher. It was not usable. He did not follow the instructions, or whoever, probably myself. I probably put it in. I did follow the instructions. So if our Christian life is not working out so great, the first question you ask yourself, am I reading the instructions? Am I following the instructions? And they're not incredibly difficult, but you might say, Eric, that's a big book. There's a lot of instructions there. Well, what was the great commandment we just talked about? Love God, love others. Now, there's a little bit more. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. But if we really condense it down, love God, love others. That summarizes everything here. Everything else is just details. Unpacking that greatly. So it's not complicated. And we see in verses 13 through 21, the first part of those instructions, there were three imperatives. You guys remember those imperatives from last week? You didn't know you were going to have a quiz today. I'm sorry. So the first one was set your hope fully on the grace of God revealed in Jesus. The second one was be holy. You know, be set apart as God is holy. Be like your Father, God. The third one is live in reverent fear as outsiders in this world. So those three are instructions to us. And if you look at the first part of 22, if you follow those three, then this will have happened. It says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So obeying those things, and it's funny because those are somewhat attitudes or bents of our lives, positions of our life. We talked last week about living in light of the gospel. You know, when you and I have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God causes us to be born again into a new family, into a new way of life. But then there is an aspect of living in light of this new way of life. So the question today is, are you following the instructions? Are you loving God? And this is kind of packing. What does that mean to love God? To be fully set apart. Set your hope fully on his grace in your life. Saying, God, I am not my own. I am holy unto you. I am set apart for a different use. Not just for me and my kingdom, but for you and your kingdom. And that comes out in various ways. And then finally we're saying, I finally am saying, you are God, I am not. Reverent fear, right? What you say is what matters, not what I care about. What you say is what matters. So if you and I have gotten to that place we're doing that, that will purify our heart to be able to love others in the right way. You know, we have a humidifier in our basement. And I love it because it dehumidifies. Can you believe it? But every once in a while, over the year, some sort of slime kind of grows in that tube that goes down to the drain, and it'll stop working. It'll fill up the tank instead of draining down the drain. So what do I need to do to get that working again? What do you think I need to do? I need to clean out that tube, right, that garden hose that runs from my dehumidifier. I need to take it outside, hook up the hose, and do some serious blasting of water, and all this horrible stuff comes out. It's kind of gross. I do it more than once a year, I guess. Maybe say, Eric, are you cleaning out your dehumidifier hose? But when I do that, it clears it out and it can do what it's meant to do. In the same way, you might be saying, I'm having trouble loving others in the church, loving the family of God well. It might be because you have clogged arteries in your spiritual heart. It needs to be flushed out. You need to go back to the basics. Are you setting your hope fully on Him? Are you being set apart for God as holy? Are you living in reverent fear, not living for yourself, but living for God, recognizing He is God, I am not? If you're doing those things, that will flush out, that will purify your heart, your spiritual heart, to love others well. So if you're saying today, man, I'm really struggling with Joe or so-and-so in the church. I'm having trouble forgiving. I don't like them. I'm not expressing love. The way to flush those arteries is to get back to those basics that we looked at in 13 through 21. Follow the instructions. So this leads us to the next point. When we set our hope fully on grace, are holy, and live in reverent fear, it sets us up to love the family of God well by loving sincerely and deeply. So point number two, Ezra, if you can put that up there. All right. Love the family of God well by loving sincerely and deeply. So let's unpack that. There's two adverbs here for the love. And the word, it's interesting, they use the word phileo here and also agape. You see the word love twice here. So phileo is familial love, brothers and sisters. So how many of you have brothers and sisters in your family of origin, right? Do the brothers and sisters love each other well? Sometimes. Sometimes they love each other well. but we don't always have a great model in our family of origin. Sometimes we do. You know, some families do that great. But, you know, I think of many families, if someone's threatening your brother or sister, what do? Suddenly familial love comes in, right? You're like, I'm going to defend them. Even though I may not defend them at home, I'm suddenly defending them from outside invaders, right? Well, God says, now you are part of a spiritual family. When you enter the kingdom of God, when you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, when His grace has transformed you, I want you to look around and say, these are my people. These are my brothers and sisters. So say that maybe to the person next to you. You're my brother. You're my sister. And often we will say that at church, brother so-and-so. And it's not a title. It's saying, they're part of my family. They're part of my family. And so how do we love our family both deeply and sincerely? Let's unpack those words. This word sincere, here's what some people say it means, as I was looking up the Greek, without play acting, genuine, unfeigned, no ulterior motives. So I've heard an illustration that helps me. Another way this was said is without wax. You know what that means? Without wax. So in Greek society, they would often make pots. And if any of you have done pots, Matt, I remember some years ago, Matt showed us the pottery class and things exploding in the kiln, right? And sometimes the pots will crack or they'll be deformed a little. So, you know, in that society, you make a bunch of pots and you don't want to just throw this away. You spend time on it. So they would fill those cracks in with wax and then paint the pot and sell it in the marketplace. And the pot would look great. It would look like everything's good until a hot day comes along. And then what happens? The wax would melt and then the paint might start peeling off there and you suddenly see that, oh, this was not perfect. It had wax. So he's saying here, sincere means without wax, the real deal, not faking it. So how does this look at church? You know, often we can be civil to one another, but really dislike each other. We can pretend to be nice, but in our hearts we're harboring bitterness and annoyance towards the other person. We don't take to the Lord and have it dealt with, or we don't go to that person and have a talk. You know, Peacemaker Ministries, if you want to learn more about this, they have tons of great resources, but they have a thing that says, you know, either we can peace break, where we go and fight, or we can peace fake, where we withdraw, but we're still cold towards one another. Either one involves hatred. But peacemaking is going and dealing with it, thinking about the other person's best interests, It's not pretending the problem's not there, but also not going after the jugular, right? So do you and I truly peacemake? Or are we just peace faking or peace breaking? That's what sincere means. The word earnestly or deeply here is another way that says love one another deeply or earnestly. Peter, here's one how one commentator said it. Peter expects his churches to be filled with people who love one another in that way, who try to understand one another, who give the other person the benefit of the doubt, and who reach out to others in the same love. So another explanation of this word is this. His emphasis falls less on the genuineness of their love and more on the earnestness of their love. They must love each other from the heart, unremittently. Their affection must be constant and enduring, unshaken by adversity or shifting circumstances. So this is a love that doesn't write people off. Maybe you've heard people say this, like, you know, you're dead to me. Have you heard someone say that or seen that happen? It's like, I want nothing to do with you. I've given up on any hope of this working out. And it's saying, if you and I have truly understood the gospel, we've devoted ourselves fully to the hope of God's grace, we have set ourselves apart as holy, we have decided to fear God reverently, it will affect our relationships. We will recognize God has shown me such amazing grace, and we will be gracious people. The whole book of 1 John talks about this, and I was looking at one other commentary and what they had to say on this, and I thought it was very emotional. Have any of you ever done a litmus test for something? Anyone in chemistry here? What is a litmus test? Yeah, it checks the pH. So I remember having this little kit my dad got me or whatever, a little chemistry kit, and I had these little pH strips. And you would dip it in whatever fluid. If it turned blue, then it was, I think, basic, and pink was acidic. And then there might be something somewhere in between for the 7, you know, the water. So what is the litmus test of whether you and I are really living in light of the gospel? You know, some people think it's doctrine. Well, you believe the right stuff, and it is important to believe the right stuff. Other people might think it's moral behavior. I know people that are very moral that don't believe in Jesus. So what is the real litmus test? And what this is saying is the litmus test will be that you love the family of God well. You are filled with earnest and sincere love. That is a litmus test of whether you really are getting the gospel. I'm not saying you're saved or not saved, but you're not saved by loving well, but when you are saved, you will love well. Do you understand the difference? So if you're struggling, if you're offended all the time by everybody, if you're not loving others well, you might say, am I getting God's grace? Do I really understand it? Because I am not living in light of that. It will change, you know, over and over and over in Scripture. It says, by your love, they will know that you are my children. Jesus said that. They will know, the world will know that you are my people if you love one another well. 1 John says, if you say, I know God, but you hate your brother in your heart, then the truth is not in you. It is a litmus test. Gets all the, excuse my crassness, the BS out of the way. A lot of us can know all these great things theologically. We can live a very moral life, but be horribly unloving. So the big question is, do you love the family of God well? If you aren't doing that, heart check, right? Go back to following the instructions. All right? So we see here the call to love our spiritual family sincerely and deeply. Now, you might say, that's impossible. What if I just don't like someone? How do I stop doing that? Well, you know, it is impossible unless we look at this third point. Love the family of God well by being born again. Now, this is not being like born again multiple times, but we look at verses 23 through 25. What Peter seems to be saying here, and I missed it the first time reading through this, but he's saying, you are able to do this because you have been born again. And he goes on to quote from Isaiah 40. He says, not from perishable seed, but from imperishable seed. What was Isaiah 40 addressed to? Who were the audience of that? Does anyone know? Mitch is our resident scholar on Isaiah. Mitch, who was Isaiah addressed to, Mitch? It was addressed to the exiles, right? Wasn't it? And they were living in a foreign land. They were under a really strong power. It seemed like, you know, the Babylonian Empire was never going to end. They were in full power. They were world power. And they heard this in Isaiah 40. And what is interesting, Peter is quoting this to believers now, like they are in that back in that time. He's saying this is the same situation. They were under the Roman Empire, who at that point seemed like it was never going to end. And he says, your old way of life might have been under this world system, but this new way of life is under a system that's going to last forever. You have been born into imperishable. And he compares the Roman Empire, he compares Babylon to flowers. Has anyone got flowers recently from a loved one? How long did they last? A week, maybe? You know, if they got them at Walmart and when they were on the tail end of their life, maybe a day or two. Sometimes you get the ones that they're fresh, and they may last a couple weeks, but they're not going to last long. The flowers fade, the grass fades. You know, I just turned 49 on Friday, and those of you, some of you are older than me, some of you are younger than me, but does our youth stay forever? I've been meeting with my parents a lot, and all you that are a little bit older than me, and you're going, oh, my back aches, and this and that, and the parts aren't working like they should. You know, the Bible compares us to grass, right? But we are born into an imperishable. You and I are going to live forever. Maybe not right now. We're going to have a resurrection eventually. Are you living for this life, or are you living for the eternal life? And he's saying, if you're born again and you're living in the kingdom of God and operating according to the instructions, you will be given that power to do this, to love others well. I compare it to, you're connecting to an aquifer rather than just being a cup. A lot of us, we try to love like we're a cup. And cups have only a certain amount they can give, right? And they pour out and you say, I'm empty. I can't love them anymore. I'm done. My cup's empty. But what if you were more like a hose that was connected to an aquifer of unlimited water? Jesus said, you know, I will be like living water flowing out of you. If you connect to him, you will be able to love. I thought it was interesting. I was talking this. Loving is like a muscle. Like if I tried to go out now and run 8 miles, how do you think I'd do? Not so good. But if I started training, and I ran a little bit, and I ran a little bit the next day, and a little bit the next day, it wouldn't be so hard to run that 8 miles. So as you and I love others deeply and sincerely, we will actually get better at loving others deeply and sincerely. Work that muscle. Love others deeply and sincerely. And like a balloon, your capacity will begin to expand. It may not seem like you have it, but boy, you have a lot more capacity than you think you do. And you have the power to do it because you're born again. It's interesting. I wouldn't have always thought that, right? I wouldn't say, where's the power of love come from? Does it come from being born again? I wouldn't have always drawn that, connected that dot. What Peter does here. So that'd be something for you to meditate on. Think about, what does that mean? What does that mean? How do I unpack that? One way I was trying, maybe I'll help you a little bit unpack it. How did God create the world? Word, right? So if we look earlier in Peter here, what does it say in Peter, 1 Peter 1? Like God has called us, right, like exiles, to foreknowledge of the Father. So God has spoke to us. He has called to us. His creative power has caused you to become a new creation in Christ, right? The word of the Lord. And we look at, in this part, the word is used many times in verses 23 and 24. The living and abiding word of God. And then it says in verse 25, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached. and I heard the gospel, God called us out of darkness to light, there was something created in you. So the idea of being born again is there has been a creative act of power that has happened in your life. So if you and I are not having the kind of love to love one another as well, we need to say, you know, what is my position? I am born again. I have been created a new creature. Am I connecting to that unlimited aquifer of God to love well? What needs to be cleared out of my spiritual heart? Are my spiritual arteries clogged? And why is that? And that's, once again, I have to go back to the instructions, right? Am I fully devoted my hope to Him? Am I setting myself apart as holy, recognizing He is Lord? Am I living in reverent fear? If those things aren't happening, then the power won't be going through you to be able to do this. If you put the truth into practice, you will be living out of the power given to you when you were called and responded to the gospel. Your heart will be cleared out of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. That's what Judea is going to be talking about next week. And it will be filled with a sincere and enduring love for the saints, which will flood over to the world. But, you know, if we aren't loving each other well, the world doesn't want to hear what we have. It's got to start at home. Some people say, well, I like non-Christians, but I don't like the church. But you got a problem, my friend. You got a problem. You got some heart issues you got to deal with. You know, some people think, I can be a Christian but not go to church. No, I don't think so. You're called to a body of Christ, not to just me and Jesus. The Bible doesn't give much credence to that kind of mentality. It's not whether you're part of Grace Fellowship or some other place, but you should be part of somebody. You should be loving other saints well in that body. Even the ones you don't choose, you know, sometimes they say you don't choose your family. In a sense, you also don't choose your spiritual family. You get who you get, and God will give you those EGR, extra grace required people for a reason. Maybe you're one of them. I'm one of them, I know. We all need that extra grace. But we also have to give that extra grace, right, too. So it's a growing process. So my prayer is that Grace Fellowship, that we could be a healthy body of believers that's following the instructions, that understands how to sincerely and deeply love one another, and we're encouraging one another to do that. When we see it not happening, we're not yelling at the person, but we're coming alongside saying, let me help. Let me help. What's going on? Let's get back to the basics. And that are living out of that power of born again, being a new creation, reminding one another that we are preparing for an eternity, not just for now. And these trials and troubles that God's allowing in your life are preparing you for eternity of ruling with Him. So, Grace Fellowship, are you loving the family of God well? Are you following the instructions? Are you loving sincerely and deeply? Are you doing this from the power of being a born again, a new creation in God and Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we see the Christian life laid out pretty simply here, what it means to love God and love others. And Lord, we see some clarity in that, what that looks like in the day-to-day grinds. Lord, may we do that well. May we love one another well. Lord, if we have some clogged arteries spiritually, help us to have that cleared out by you. Give us insight. What needs to be washed away? What needs to be laid at the foot of the cross? And Lord, may we help one another out. May we encourage one another towards this. If you see a brother or sister struggling with this, may we come alongside and point them to you and walk alongside with them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to say something? Sure. So we're going to have benediction, but don't all start talking. Well, I think actually before. That would be better, because every time we try to do announcements after it, it doesn't work. Yeah, so then we'll do benediction.
Well, I wanted to share something that happened at Game Club this past week, or this week, I should say, because the week's, I guess. Anyway, there's a young man at the elementary who, since day one, as we have our Bible lessons at the beginning of every Game Club, he says, well, I'm a pagan. And it was kind of like this disclaimer, like, what you're saying?
this week and grow in your practice of loving the family of God well. Do this by following the instructions and by setting your hope fully on the grace of God for you in Christ, by setting yourself apart to be holy to God, by living in reverent fear of God. Do this by loving the family of God sincerely and deeply. Do this through the power you obtain by being born again and living out that eternal life